Beth will come and share our scripture reading with us.
Today's scripture is Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
As I've shared with you all, I've made a choice over the last few weeks to spend some time in the book of Acts. And I was led to this particular reading, jumping a bit ahead, for today. You will see why, if you can't already. The first chapter of Acts makes it very clear that the followers of Jesus had a mission given to them by Jesus before he went to heaven to tell the world about the good news of his life and death and resurrection. Jesus had said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." But you will notice the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, they're still in Jerusalem. They're preaching, they're healing. Some of the healings are quite miraculous and get a lot of public attention. They're doing all this in Jesus' name, and there is a great response so that many are being baptized and joining this very rapidly growing church in Jerusalem. They're very popular, even with people who aren't joining, are impressed and are paying a lot of attention to what's happening with this group. So that because of that, they are getting in increasing conflict with the religious authorities. Not just because of their popularity, but because in their preaching, they repeatedly condemn those who had condemned Jesus to death. Peter and John, as the leaders of this movement, are thrown in jail twice. They are called before the Jewish Leadership Council. They're warned to stop preaching. They're whipped when they keep preaching. And they keep praying for boldness and keep on preaching. Finally, the crackdown came. Stephen, one of the first seven deacons who had been appointed to help deal with the growing social ministry of this church in Jerusalem as they were dealing with feeding, sharing food among many of them who were quite poor. Stephen turns out to be a very, very, very eloquent preacher, not just a good server of meals. He preached a sermon that created such opposition, such anger on the part of those hearing him, that they dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. And the text says, Saul of Tarsus approved of the stoning and then led a severe persecution against all those first believers. Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off both men and women, committing them to prison. Father Thomas Keating observes in a talk I heard recently that we might note that it was this terrible time of this first persecution that was used by the Spirit to get them out of Jerusalem. They had all been quite comfortable just dealing with what was happening in Jerusalem. But when the persecution came, most of them were scattered out of Jerusalem. The 12 apostles, we read, stayed at the home church, but most of the rest were scattered across Judea and Samaria, at least some perhaps even further. And as they went, they kept sharing the good news of Jesus. Philip, not the Philip of the 12 disciples, but the Philip who was one of the seven deacons chosen, went to Samaria. And in his preaching there, he has a huge response. Peter and John come to help him out. And then, as we hear today, Philip was told by an angel to move on. An angel told him to go south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. When we talked about this text in Bible study on Tuesday night, we all commented that that Gaza hit us in a very different way than it would have a year or two ago. We can picture that road now, perhaps, can't we? Picture the terrain, picture that wilderness, dry landscape. So there Philip is, on the road, not knowing why, not knowing where, and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace. This is not her name, this is the title of the queen of the Ethiopians. And he's a man of great prominence. He's become in charge of all her treasury. It's his story that came to me as I thought of this Pride Sunday for us today. He was an Ethiopian. This was actually the Roman and Greek term for all dark-skinned Africans. Literally, it meant burnt face. Because of the reference to Candace being the queen that he served, we actually know that he was probably not from today's Ethiopia. He was probably from the kingdom of Kush, which is a little further north, just below Egypt on the Upper Nile, a country of dark-skinned, Nilotic people. Today's Sudan. So here we have this man. How different could he have possibly been from Philip? Philip, a Hellenistic Jew, which is to say he did probably spoke Greek very fluently and had had some influence, some involvement in more larger Greek culture, but very, very much a Jew from Palestine. And then we have this man from a place which, again, today, Sudan is a place where terrible ethnic and religious civil war going on right now. On the road to Gaza, another place where ethnic and religious warfare is happening right now. In that day, they were equally divided. They are not men who would have known each other, interacted with each other in any way, if it were not for the prompting of God's Spirit. And he was a eunuch, which is to say he was a castrated male. It was a custom in Middle Eastern and Asian courts for a number of centuries, all the way up into the late Ottoman Empire, to castrate young boys to then become servants in the royal court. sometimes was a form of punishment. It might have been a boy taken in battle. It perhaps been the son of a defeated ruler of another area. It was definitely a requirement to be allowed to serve the queen and the royal harem because a neutered male was seen as safe sexually to have around the royal women. Eunuchs often grew to have very prominent roles within the royal court. They could be influential advisors to the royal family, often a tutor to the young princes as they were growing up, and so then came to have influence. But they were still slaves. They were in bondage in their role. And they were definitely discriminated against. Not only had they suffered some kind of traumatic cutting when they were made a eunuch and been made sterile so they could no longer have children, they were also seen as lesser, as other, not real men. They would not have been allowed into the inner courts of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. They would not have been allowed to become a convert and fully embraced as a Jewish proselyte, because they were seen as unclean. So we have to wonder, why had he gone to Jerusalem to worship God, to a place where he would not be fully allowed to worship God? Some commentators wonder if he might have been Jewish, maybe captured as a boy and taken to Ethiopia, to Cush, or maybe part of an early Jewish community in that part of the world that we don't really know how long back their history there goes. It seems more likely to many commentators and to me that he was a spiritual seeker, a God-fearer, someone who was seeking a relationship, a connection. And Philip is sent to meet him. Now, don't let the chariot mess you up, because I don't know about you, but when I read chariot, I picture, you know, one of those war chariots where they're standing up going into battle. No, this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about some kind of carriage pulled by horses with a driver. Maybe that Sunday school picture, do you remember, where there's like the canopy and the man waving a fan for him? I mean, maybe more like that. And probably driving slowly so that he could read on a bumpy road if he was going fast. Plus, it would have been really, really hot. Probably really hot. Philip hears him reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, one of those suffering servant passages in Isaiah that the Christian church came to claim as prophecies about who Jesus was going to be, about the suffering Messiah who was going to die. This is the first incidence in the New Testament of those a suffering servant passage being connected to Jesus' life and death. How might this eunuch have been intrigued to read us about someone who, like a sheep, has been sheared or slaughtered without being allowed to voice a protest? Think about that. Philip comes alongside and asks him what he's reading and engages him in conversation. And the Ethiopian, very humbly, asks for help. How can I know what it means without someone to help me? And he invites him to get in the carriage. And so they ride along together, side by side, as equals, talking to each other. Philip using this passage as an entry point into telling him about Jesus the Christ. And then eventually they come to water, and he says, "What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" Do you hear the pain in the way that question is phrased? What will prevent me? What barrier? What religious rule? What form of discrimination is now going to tell me that I cannot be baptized? And Philip has no barriers. There is nothing. Philip goes with him into the water and baptizes him, a believer in Jesus Christ. There is nothing to keep him out, not his race, not his ethnicity, not his status as a slave, not his gender identity. Nothing prevents him from full inclusion, from fully receiving the good news. That was and is the good news we proclaim. The Spirit drove Philip beyond the boundaries of Jerusalem and Judea into the wider world. The religious backgrounds of those first Jewish believers like Philip had taught them to see barriers and differences, but the Spirit of Christ kept pushing them. Throughout the book of Acts, we'll see it, pushing them to see, no, these are brothers and sisters, all children of God, all welcome, all included, all part of God's good news revealed in Jesus. Philip and the Ethiopian go down in the water together. He's baptized, blessed as one of God's beloved, claimed as part of the community of Christ. And then Philip's snatched away. It's wild, isn't it? I mean, the word is the same word as for raptured. So Philip's raptured off to somewhere else. And unlike, this is an interesting reference I read back when this happened to Elijah back in the Old Testament at one point, the people left behind searched for him for 3 days. The Ethiopian spent no energy looking for the messenger, Philip. He went on rejoicing in what he had experienced and what he had received and what he was now a part of, his newfound relationship with God through Jesus. We know nothing else about him. Legend claims the beginning of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church goes all the way back to this man. There's no historical proof of that. But in the stories of Acts, like this story, we just keep seeing the Spirit pushing those early believers on and out, expanding the circle, breaking through all the barriers that want to only let some people in, want to say only these can belong. And we are still part of that expanding, opening circle. Our understandings widening about God's love and grace. How many of us in our own personal lives have lived this journey of growing understanding? We are called to be part of sharing this incredibly good news. We all belong. Race, ethnicity, religious background, social status, gender identity, none of these prevent anyone, from belonging to the family of God. We are all God's children. God's beloved, all of us welcomed, accepted for who we are, and all of us given the mission, share the good news. Let others know they are loved, they are welcomed. Thanks be to God.